As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This week, my household changed. On Wednesday, Mitch went back to college. On Thursday, Tessa went to college for the first time. On Friday, the only one who was living with me in that house over there, Tyler, moved to an apartment in the city where his sister also lives in the city. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, right now that constitutes me and my cat. And I can only speak for me, not my cat. I have entered that category that some of you are very familiar with. Full singlehood. For some, that is something that is chosen. For others, that is something that we are dragged into kicking and screaming. I pray and ask you to pray for me that I might find blessing in singleness. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whenever I read of that passage, you know, I think of Joshua and the gumption, I guess, on his part to speak for his household. I mean, perhaps once upon a time, the head of the household could stand and speak those words, and everybody else would be expected to follow them in that household. But I don't think that's the case anymore. If indeed it ever really truly was, I would think to be able to speak those words with integrity, there needs to be a great deal of communication. There needs to be a whole lot of, if you will, communion to be able to say that in truth. Can a husband anymore truly say, "As for me and my house"? In fact, that's probably something that each person needs to choose for themselves. Now, the danger of that is it becomes something very individualistic, and that we are all pulled in our own directions and scattered to the winds. Sort of like my family feels right now, scattered to the winds. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You know, I have another household. You're familiar with this household. Sometimes call this strange thing the church, also termed the body of Christ. We often call this a household of faith, don't we? We sometimes say it's like a family. In some ways it truly is. Because families can be as dysfunctional as churches can be. And families can be as wonderful. I mean, churches can be as wonderful as family can be. As for me and my household, you know, as your pastor, I can't stand before you and say, "We will serve the Lord." That is something that each and every one of us needs to choose. It's a choice. A choice that needs to be made. Now, this particular scripture, which comes at the very end of that book of Joshua, which was sort of the beginnings of a whole new way of life for the children of Israel, you know, after they had been led out of Egypt by Moses and through those 40 years in the wilderness, and, you know, there at the Jordan River, which Moses couldn't cross, led in instead by his assistant Joshua and to possessing the land. This was at the end of Joshua's life, a time of making a covenant. Making a covenant with God, making a covenant with one another. Part of covenant making is remembering where you've been. Joshua reminded him that. The story that they'd been a part of, that they were a part of a larger history, of a history of a people that went all the way back to Abraham. That far back. Retelling the story in very simple terms. Remember who you are and that you are a part of this story. Now, as Joshua told the story, he was speaking for God. He was using I language. God says, I did this, I did this, I did this. But it's still remembering the story, where we've been. It's important that people of faith take time to remember. But it's just as important that God's people, remembering the story, remembering that they are a part of the story, this is my story, this is my song, that God's people choose. We each have the opportunity to choose. Just like the children of Israel back there. Choose this day whom you will serve. That's what Joshua said. Make a choice. Will you choose the gods of your past? That is, your way, 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 way back past? Will you choose the gods that surround you in the here and now? Or will you choose the living, the faithful God who's been there every step of the way? You know, we face these choices today. Might I say that sometimes we may have a tendency to make a God out of family instead of remembering the God who brought family into being. Family is good. Without it, we feel lost. But our God is not family. Our God is the living God. Not the long, 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 long ago family. Not our heritage in a something that's just black and white on paper and not living, but the living story of a living God. We can have as our God something that is dead instead of a risen Christ who speaks of a living God. Likewise, there are gods which surround us all over the place. Things that demand our attention. We've talked about, you know, money being like a god. The political process sometimes is like a god. Certainly in this time of year when most of us are wishing to turn off our televisions at a certain point for all the negative stuff that's going on out there. Wanting us to divide ourselves rather than be united. Presenting in some ways false choices. There are many gods out there. And I got to tell you that God is, let's just be honest about this from the forefront of something that is starting this week with these conventions. God is neither a Democrat or a Republican. Right? God is neither a liberal nor a conservative. Right? Okay. Choose this day whom you will serve. The people on that day stood up, and I can't quite imagine them all saying it together like you did. I mean, they didn't have, you know, pieces of paper there reading off. Can you imagine them all saying those words? It's how it's remembered. You know, even you who had those words down on paper weren't always reading them exactly in the same cadence, right? But basically those people said, we choose this day to serve the Lord. And then an amazing thing happens. The part that we didn't read this morning is Joshua says, spoke to them and says, okay, you can't serve the Lord. Isn't that strange? They just said, we choose to serve the Lord. He said, you can't choose. You can't. You can choose, but you can't serve the Lord. He wasn't saying it in the sense that, it's totally impossible, but after every confession of faith comes a confession of sin. We can make our professions, but the truth is, we all too easily, all too quickly, fall flat on our faces, don't we? We can have our highest moments standing under that tree in Shechem or wherever. But almost as if in the very next breath, we're being things that kind of are totally against what we have just said. And yet, and Joshua said this, he said, I call you to be witnesses today. You are witnesses to yourselves. We are witnesses to one another. What that means is we are accountability partners, if you will, to the choices that we have made. We hold one another accountable to the faith we profess. Which isn't easy. Sometimes we need to speak a word that runs counter, that is negative. But just as often, and I have read this many times in the New Testament, where there are times of speaking the truth, it is done in love. It is done in ways that are leading towards building up. We are witnesses to one another, and that by that we are accountable to one another, but we are also, well, this week in one of my devotional readings, the person writing it was thinking about rock climbing. Has anybody ever been a rock climber here? Anyone? Oh, good. If I say so, you'll hold me accountable if I get this wrong. In rock climbing, at least where it's done safely, there is a person who's climbing the rock, and then there's a rope which goes up to a pulley or whatever that's much higher, and it comes down to somebody at the bottom, and that person is called a what? Do you remember? A belayer. And the belayer has that the end of the rope that goes down through a pulley mechanism, and it comes over here, and they gradually let the rope out. So that the person, as they are climbing it, it's the rope is not taut. Do you know what I mean by taut? It is a little bit loose. It is a little bit loose so that there's some play in there. And the person has the freedom in which to climb. Not being pulled up, but is able to climb the rock to get to the top. But if that person slips and falls, the person on the bottom is able to hold it with the mechanism and prevent that person from falling down and hurting themselves. A belayer. I venture to say that to one another in all these choices that we make, these professions of faith that we make, we are like belayers to one another. Not betrayers, belayers to one another. Not only do we hold each other accountable, we are helping one another in the difficult task of being a disciple. But we are there when we slip and fall, holding on to the rope and making sure that we are not harmed. We are witnesses to one another. Of course, in this story, Joshua uses another image. After he tells the God's people that they are witnesses to one another, he picks up a rock and puts it over in under that tree in Shechem and lays it down and says, "This rock is a witness against you. This rock has heard what you said." Then my first thought is, yeah, right. Rock is not living. It doesn't hear. It's whatever. But then I got to think about how disciple Peter, a name that I consider kind of important. In Greek, the word Peter comes from Petros, which means what? Rock. And how we are like that rock for one another. We are like that rock for one another. And I was thinking about that this week, that devotional that I mentioned about the belayer, that was Thursday's devotion when I was thinking about my daughter going to college. We are like a rock to one another. When our young people leave the nest, we are the rock upon which they climb. We are the hard place. We are like a rock to one another. Not to hit each other, but we all need firm substances against which to move, don't we? When we're moving, as we're climbing, if we step on spaghetti or step on a sponge, it's not going to give us any traction, will it? We need to be able to step on something. When we bounce things off of one another, we need something firm. We are like a rock to one another. So being witnesses involves, yes, holding one another accountable. It involves being like belayers to one another. It also means being like a rock to one another. I'm sure there's other ways in which we could talk about this. But that's all that's involved, and probably much more, in making a covenant with one another. And it all begins with telling the story. Now, in many churches other than ours, every week they share a creed. They speak a creed, and we're not all that creedal type people. We say that the whole New Testament is our creed. And there's something of truth to that, but there's something also nice about having a kind of a thing in summary that kind of tells the story and saying, this is what we believe. It's not hard and fast. It is not, I guess the brethren always were saying in relation to creeds, we're saying this doesn't totally define us. This doesn't, this is not a litmus test that if you don't follow this, that you're out. But having a creed is important. And so I guess as we approach this time of, if you will, covenant remaking, I would encourage you to turn to the back of your hymnal. And there is a creed in there, number 714. Just a reminder. We have heard a reminder from Joshua of the story of God's people in the wilderness going into the promised land. And here is another one, but this one's telling the story of the New Testament. Let's just say this together, and then we will stand and read what's on the back of the bulletin. But here we go. Let's kind of say this creed together, this retelling of the story. You will be the parts in bold. And it's talking about Jesus. He was the Son of God. He came down from heaven. Kings came to his cradle. He was born to be a king. He was the greatest among rulers. He was loved and honored. He was gentle and loving. He counseled perfection. He was a joyful companion. He said, rejoice. Love God with all your heart. Don't be anxious. Deny yourself. In him was life. He was a historic person. He was Jesus of Nazareth. Would you stand and let's speak together this litany that is on the back of your bulletins? It is a prayer. Lord, the world wants us to choose violence, and you ask us to choose peace. The Lord wants us to build the kingdom of self, and you ask us to bring your rule and reign to the world. The world wants us to use people and love things, and you call us to seek justice and mercy. The world wants us to consume and use, and you call us to give and share. The world wants us to bow at the altar of self, and you call us to kneel at the cross. The world's way leads to death and destruction, but your way leads to abundant life and resurrection. When we walk with the Lord, let's sing together number 544.